If you have your Bibles, please turn to Romans chapter 1, verses 8 through 12. Listen now to the word of God. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is being reported all over the world. God, whom I serve in my spirit in preaching the gospel of his Son, is my witness how constantly I remember you in my prayers at all times. And I pray that now at last, by God's will, the way may be open for me to come to you. I long to see you, so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong, that is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I'll pray before we go into today's message. God, open up our eyes, open up our hearts. Would you allow our spirit to be in a place where we could receive your word and not feel defensive or not feel like something major is happening, but Lord, that we are starting to flow with the Spirit, flow with where you are leading us to. That things that you're speaking to us start making sense in our lives. That as we turn to your word for guidance, Lord, that we are being built up each day, that we are maturing, that we are understanding you more, that our relationship with you is getting deeper and deeper. Lord, it is by your word that we are led, that we are guided. So Lord, we pray that we would submit to your word, that the things that you teach us, we would really take into our hearts and that we would allow it to affect the way that we live our lives. Lord, as we navigate this life, as we navigate this world, many times we are pulled in different directions, but the path that is straight is what you lead us on. It's where you put us because you're the shepherd. And Lord, we want to follow that road. It's hard sometimes. We admit and we confess that many times it becomes easier to walk on different roads. Different things look more appealing to us. But today, here and now, Lord, we want to be servants. We want to be obedient to your word. So open up our hearts, open up our ears, and may we not be stubborn. May we not pull you in the direction that we want to go in, but may we be led. May we be guided. May we be the sheep and you be the shepherd. Lord, we thank you. We trust in you and all this. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. To be honest with everybody, I had a hard time writing sermon this week, partially because our journey into Acts kind of ended and I was recapping and I was reviewing kind of the sermons that we had in the past few months, and I was thinking, what did I leave out? You know, what should I have focused on more? And now that we were at the end of Acts, you know, I had kind of a natural progression going, and you know, I think Jesus he took the wheel. I was like, okay, just lead me, guide me, and he kind of just took me down like a path, and it made sense to me, and it just flowed, and I was like, wow, this is really amazing. This is great. But then Acts ended. And I was like, okay, now we need a new place to go. We need a new sermon series. We need something to speak for this ministry. And Acts made so much sense to me. But I struggled this week. I was like, okay, now where do we go from here? You know, we left with Paul in a really good place. And I was like, oh, I liked how that sermon series ended. I was like, okay, where do we go from here? And I struggled. And I had a difficult time thinking about, okay, what's the next step? Where do we go? What do we talk about? What is it that we need to learn? What is it that we need to hear and accept into our hearts? And again, it was a kind of a tricky week for me to think about sermons. I wrote a lot of sermons this week, and things started getting like confused. I was like, this sermon is about this, and then I was like, wait, that example was for this sermon, but I used it for this sermon. And it was for some reason. I just had a hard time writing sermons this week. But while I was thinking about the English ministry sermon, while I was thinking about the sermon for this week, I was kind of reminded of the sermon that I preached in youth group service last week. And in last week's youth group service, it centered on the fact that Jesus Christ, his sacrifice was once and for all. that he died, and when he died, it wasn't this thing where he has to continually die, that he has to continually do sacrifice, that you have to keep coming back to the temple to offer your burnt sacrifices or to, you know, cleanse yourself from sin, but that his death was once and for all. And what that should make us feel and what that should make us realize is that we are all in the same boat, that we are all together. It's something that unites us. How are you saved? By Jesus Christ's sacrifice once and for all. And that same death, that same cross is available for everybody. And that's something that should unite us. That's something that we should all be able to declare together. That should become a part of our identity. And that's something that I shared with the youth group students last week. And along that line, thinking about Christ's sacrifice, which was once and for all, available for all who believe in the Son of God, I just started flipping through kind of, you know, the natural thing to do when you finish Acts is to turn the page and you start reading Romans. And I guess I had that in my mind as I was reading the first chapter of Romans, and I was just kind of just reading it, not really thinking I'm going to preach from Romans, but several things stood out to me. Maybe because I had this idea of we're in this together. We are the same. We were all saved by grace. And if we were all saved by grace, then there's no finger pointing. There's no exclusion. There's no saying I'm holier than you or you don't deserve to be in this family. We were all saved by grace, so we are all in this together. And with that kind of thought, with that kind of thing going on in my heart, I read Romans, and the passage from today really stood out to me. It really started like kind of popping up in my mind. I couldn't stop reading it. And I just kept reading it and reading it and reading it. And it doesn't seem like a very important thing. It didn't seem like a really major theological point. But there's something really important in Paul's opening, in his greeting to the church in Romans. And I want to highlight two things from this passage today. The first thing that I want to kind of discuss is what you're known for. What you're known for is a really important thing, especially in a business. You know, your reputation. What your highlight is, what your strength is. You see, we live in the day and age of Yelp. And if we are in the day and age of Yelp, then you cannot escape reviews. You cannot escape what people say about your business. And, you know, if you go to a nice place, if you go to a place for the first time, usually the question that people ask is, what is this place known for? What do you have to eat here? You know, we know this about different areas. You know, if you go to down south, you go, oh, what do I have to eat when I'm down south? You have to eat barbecue, right? Well, what do I have to eat when I'm in New York? You have to eat a Peter Luger steak, right? These are things that people know. These are things that people will be able to give you advice for. It's important to be known for the right thing as well. If you're a hotel, you want to be known for hospitality, for cleanliness, for service. If you own a restaurant, you want your food to be delicious. You want the environment to be nice, the setting to be clean. It doesn't make sense, right? Even if it's something good, even if it's something positive, but it doesn't really fit with what you're supposed to be doing, right? If you think about that very carefully, if you go to a car mechanic and the car mechanic is like, wow, this place is so clean and it's the nicest bathroom I've ever seen in my life for a car mechanic, but they cannot fix cars. You'll go like, what? Like, what is the point of that? There's no value in that. You have to be good at what you're supposed to be good at, what you are known to be good at, what you're expected to be good at. And that's something that I think is really interesting about churches today. And it's kind of a tricky thing to say. But if you look at the book, if you look at the introduction to Romans, verse 8, the thing that he says is, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you because of the faith that is being reported all over the world. You see, that's what they were known for. That's what he was hearing about the Roman church, the Romans church. It's their faith. But so many times in our churches, in the modern church, think about what you think about. Think about what makes a church a good church. Oh, that pastor is really good. Oh yeah, you know, they have an excellent Sunday school program. You know, that church, they have a beautiful, beautiful sanctuary. They have amazing facilities. Or what about this one? They have so many young people. They have so many people. It's a big church. They have so many good programs. We have to admit that that's really the crux. That's really the center of how people judge churches these days. They look at things on the surface. That's what becomes kind of the reputation. That's the word that gets spread about churches. Yeah, Saegwang Church, they have a beautiful sanctuary that has no air conditioning in the summer, doesn't really have heat in the winter. You know, Saegwang Church, they have a wonderful Sunday school program, and they sing songs, they raise kids well, blah, blah. There are all kinds of things that you could think about that become really peripheral things. But I'm really impressed by this Roman church. I'm impressed by what they're known for, their reputation, the word that is being spread about them. I thank my God because your faith is being reported all over the world. And when's the last time you heard that about a church? When you went to a church and you said, that was really good praise. Oh, that was a really good message. Oh, they had really good food. Those are things that I hear all the time. I hear that constantly. But very rarely do I hear, I went to that church and man, what a faithful church that is. That's a church that will chase Jesus Christ till the end. They will not be shaken. They don't fall back when things go when things are hard. Their faith is unshakable. And that's the first thing that kind of caught my eye. And I hope that's something that will really kind of pierce your heart as well. That when you think about the church that we are, the church that we want to be, the church that we want to become, that the thing that people say about us, it doesn't matter the numbers. It doesn't matter how good the programs are or how talented the leaders are or how great the ministries are or how great the facilities are. May the thing that we chase for, may the things that we strive for, the thing that we pursue, is that the world would know about the faith that is found in Saegwang Church, the faith that is found in each ministry, that when people look at the different divisions or the different groups that we have, that they're talking about the faith that the people have. Not just how happy they are, not just how well they get along or how close they are, but their faith. I really believe that that should be central for a church, that when a visitor comes in and they, you know, I don't really like support this, not that we're going to write Yelp reviews or Google reviews of our church, but when they think back on the service and they think back on the church, they're left with a really good impression. Not because things were so smooth, not because things were done so well, but because of the faith of the congregation, the faith of the leadership. Because when they came, they saw that something was different in this church. I pray that and I bless that for all of you and for us together as a church, as a staff, as a congregation, that many people would know there's a small church out there in Pleasantville. You know, I went to a dinner function yesterday, my friend's 10-year anniversary for his wedding, and I was there, and people ask all the time, they go, oh, what do you do? Oh, I'm a pastor. Oh, where do you pastor? Saegwang Church in Pleasantville. And I'm sorry to say, but in my community, they all look at me and go, huh? Where? Who? What? What church is that? Like, what is that? And they always, you know, give me that blank look. But at some point, may our church be known not for being a big church, not for being an influential church, but being a church that is faithful, faithful to the ministry of Jesus Christ, faithful to the Lord, that no matter what other churches are doing, no matter what the culture is, no matter what's going on in the country, no matter how the climate is changing around us in the spiritual environment, the Saegwang Church will always be faithful, that we will always be true to who we are and what God has planned for us. I would be so proud if our church had that sort of reputation. And more than anything else, if people just saw that our group was faithful, that our group was one that would never forsake Christ, you know, that what better thing could you ask for from the reputation of a church? But Paul continues in this introduction. You know, he's not teaching anything. He's just introducing. He's just talking about his feelings. He's just kind of speaking with the church in Rome. But there's another thing that really kind of caught my attention. And the idea is I want to be there. I want to go there because I really desperately want to impart spiritual gifts to make you strong. You know, I really want to do something for you. I want to bring you something so that you are strengthened, so that you have something to stand on. And then he explains, and I really love this verse. He says, that is, that you and I may mutually encourage, may we be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. That's so important. I think that's so important. I think that's the difference between making a church that can run well, that looks good on the outside, but a church that can really make it through hard times. A church that can really stand. A church that would have a reputation of being faithful is when people that are gathered, the congregation, the leadership, the teachers, the students, the little kids, we're being encouraged by each other's faith. And the question is this, do we even share our faith lives with each other? Are we on that journey together? It's something that I had to think about. I have a really close group of friends, and the people that knew me since I was young, they associate me with this group all the time. It's my youth group kind of group. We came up together in like Sunday school, and slowly one by one, like more people joined. We were a very like strange group because we were like 14 guys, and then we had like two girls. And so we were just, you know, and we always played sports together. We were just known as like the, my old church was called Yale Presbyterian. So we were just called like the Yale crew. And we're just like a bunch of 14 guys. And every single one of them is huge, except for me and one other guy. So we had an identity. We grew up together in church. We spent so many Sundays together. You know, we heard all the same sermons. We learned all the same things. And during our senior year, at our very last retreat, before we graduated youth group, we gathered together and we looked at each other and we said, man, it's such a shame that we never pray for each other. That all this time we were so close and we were getting in trouble together, you know, we were making memories together, we had a lot of fun times, we hung out a lot, but we never shared faith together. We never mutually encouraged each other. We never helped each other along the journey. And these are guys that I felt like were my best friends. You know, I could tell them anything about what was going on in the world, but we never shared faith together. We never encouraged each other. I never felt encouraged by them, and I don't think I ever encouraged them in their faith. And it was such a shame, and we sat together in that circle, and it was like, there was like a sense of finality to it, because we're graduating youth group. I know now, like, that's not like a huge thing, but if to us, it was like the end of the world, like, we're graduating youth group, we're not going to be able to come to these retreats anymore. And we sat together in that circle, and for the first time, we prayed together. And we asked each other, like, how are you doing? Like, how are you doing in your faith life? Now, these are guys that I knew since I was 4 years old, 5 years old. We're sitting there 17 and we had never discussed faith. You can go to church your whole life together with people and not discuss faith with them, not encourage them, not mutually encourage each other. That happens in families too. That happens among closest friends, among church members. But I pray that that's not something that would happen, that if it is going on, that it would stop. And that at some point that we start building a church that is known for the faithfulness of the congregation. And part of that is that we are mutually encouraging each other. You might think that pastors, or you know, if you're a reverend, you don't need encouragement. You don't need spiritual encouragement. Oh, they should have it taken care of. They're a pastor. They have to, their job is to pray and to be close to God and to read the Bible. So, you know, like, they're fine. No, I don't think that's true. You know, and Paul makes that very clear, that I need to be encouraged by you, that I get encouraged by the congregation, the Church of Rome. We need each other. I think that's something that we really take for granted. So many times we live as individuals, and even when we come into church, we become a collection of individuals, and we're not willing to share life together. We're not willing to open up our hearts. We're too scared to be vulnerable to one another. But maybe church is meant for more than that. Maybe church is more than just a gathering of like-minded people or people of the same ethnicity or people that just have similar backgrounds and similar upbringings. Maybe the church is a place where you're supposed to come to be encouraged in your faith life. That sounds like it's one of the things that is supposed to happen in a church, doesn't it? But maybe we haven't been pursuing that. And if we haven't been, we need to start reevaluating the way in which we are doing church. And we need to start encouraging each other. I know that I need you. There are moments in my life where as a pastor or as a youth pastor, I get tired, I get cranky, I get weary, and there are times where I just want to like flip tables and be like, I don't want to do this anymore. I go through those moments. But I know that people are praying for me. I know that people are rooting for me. I know that people are there with me on the journey. And that gives me strength to continue. And I want to be that person. I want to be that presence in the lives of our congregation. I want to be that person in the lives of our youth students as well. That I'm there to encourage them on their journey of faith. And may you, each time you enter into the doors of this church, each time you sit in this worship, each time you gather together with your brothers and sisters in Christ, that they are really brothers and sisters in Christ, that you can really share your faith with one another, that you're going there thinking, I'm going to go today to encourage someone in their faith life. And I'm going to go so that I can be encouraged as well. There's one of these things that I used to think about, and I used to say this to a lot of the youth group students. I used to say, you're needed. You're necessary. And they would go like, why am I needed? I'm not in praise team. I don't do anything. I just kind of sit in service and leave. No, you're needed. You're necessary. When you're not there, we feel that. We feel something is missing. We need your presence. We need something there. You're needed. It's not just an individual thing where you go, I decide to go to church today if I want to, if it does something for me, if it benefits me. And if I don't want it, then who cares? It's not like I hurt anyone. It's not like I did anything bad. No, you did. You weren't there for your brothers and sisters. You see, it's not just about you. It's not just about your faith. You need each other. And we need you. And so when you're not there, when you are missing, you're missing a chance to encourage someone's faith. You're missing a chance to build up the body of Christ to where it's supposed to be. So it's not just this thing where it's like, oh, if I'm there, it's a good. If I'm not there, you know, who cares? I'm not missing. They won't miss me. They won't notice me. It's not like I'm an important person. Every part of the body is important. And every part of the body is needed to encourage each other in faith. It's interesting that Paul, you know, this guy, he's a big deal. At this point in his ministry, well, he's probably writing this, he's probably a big deal. People know about him. He's done a lot of things. And he has, you know, kind of a pedigree at this point. But the thing that he says is we need to be mutually encouraged. I'm going there not just to impart gifts to you, not just to teach over you, not just to encourage your group, but also to be encouraged. I need your prayers. I need you to help me. Now, why do you think Paul called together the elders right before he needed to go on that journey? Right before he needed to go and he knew what was coming. He knew that he was facing opposition and persecution. Why do you think he called people together to pray for him? To have, you know, the people that have affection for him. See, we need each other on this journey. It's too lonely a walk. It's too hard on our own. If you try to walk this walk by yourself, it's so difficult. But if you have people there by your side who are praying for you, who are rooting for you, who are cheering you on each step that you take, then the journey doesn't seem so long. It doesn't seem so hard. And it feels like a joy to be on that road. I pray that you would bless your families with that. That if you're a parent, you're blessing your children with that. That they feel that security. That they feel like you're there to encourage them on their faith journey. That you're not absent. That you're not someone that they can't approach. If you're with your loved ones, with your spouses, I hope that you are there for them in their faith journey, that you are mutually encouraging each other, not pulling each other off the path of faith, but that you're there to guide and help and build up the relationship that each of you have with Jesus Christ, that you are there to support. This is what Paul had in mind. I want to go there because I just want to help your congregation. I just want to impart spiritual gifts. I want you guys to really enjoy the presence of God. We want to do amazing things, but I need it too. That you and I may be mutually encouraged. I hope that that's something that you think about each Sunday. That as you walk into the doors, you're thinking, man, I'm going to encourage someone today. I'm going to help build up someone's faith today. And I pray that as we do that, as we practice that, as we take that seriously, slowly, but surely, our church will be known for a church of faith. That the things that are being reported about Saegwang Church would not just be about programs, would not just be about staff, would not be about sermons, not about the praise team, but about the faith that the people have. the belief that we have in Jesus Christ, may that be what we get known for. May that be our reputation. Let us pray. God, we thank you for the people around us. We thank you for the body that you've given to us. We take it for granted so often. But Lord, you've blessed us with the presence of the people who attend our church. These are our brothers. These are our sisters. Lord, forgive us that we may not have been encouraging each other, that we may not have been building each other up, that we may not have been supporting each other in our faith lives. But Lord, as you instruct us and as you teach us, may we be molded and may we be shaped into the church that you want us to become. May we be known for the right reasons. Lord, we ask that through all things, as we find our place in this community, as we figure out what we are together as a ministry, Lord, that you would speak to us, that you would open up our eyes, that we would not live according to the patterns of this world, but that we would be new creations, and that we would start living for the things that you say are important. May we be known for the right things. And Lord, may we be able to encourage each other on this journey of faith. We thank you, God. We need your spirit, and we trust that you are going to be with us, helping us through this time. We thank you, God, and all this in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.